Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey guys, it's Bobby Bones. I host the Bobby Bones Show, and I'm pretty much always sleepy because I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. A couple hours later, I get all my friends together, and we get into a room, and we do a radio show. We share our lives, we tell our stories, we try to find as much good in the world as we possibly can, and we look through the news of the day that you'll care about. Also, your favorite country artists are always stopping by to hang out and share their lives and music too. So wake up with a bunch of my friends on Big 104.7 in Pittsburgh or wherever the road takes you on the iHeartRadio app.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Everyone, welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
And we are a real life couple of comedians. And on this show, we take the best sets from our live show, Couples Therapy, where comics who are close do sets together about their relationship and then bring them to you. Although sometimes we have guests in studio to give advice. Naomi, today, this is one of those.
Ooh, it's such a special fun time. We have a wonderful guest with you guys, with us today, Vella Lavelle.
Ooh.
Ooh, baby. She is an actress you know from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. You know her as the voice of Mermista, the mermaid princess on She-Ra on Netflix. And now you can catch her on the new Hulu show Dollface as Allison. Vella is so lovely, and I'm so glad we were able to sit and talk with her.
She's incredible as a person. We're also, I mean, we're huge fans because Crazy Ex-Girlfriend was one of our couple shows.
Definitely. We came together. We were destigmatizing mental illness and romance, you know, all in one show. That's everything we love.
It's funny. The only musicals I really like tend to be TV musicals. So the Buffy musical, the Scrubs musical, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Today is an advice episode.
Yeah.
If you have your own advice questions that you would like to call up, you can leave a voice message. You can DM us. The phone number, though, if you would like to call and leave a voice message, is 323-524-7839. Now, Naomi, before we go on, though, we have a couple plugs. I want to play a testimonial. This is someone called back after we had given them advice. So let me play this very quickly.
Hey, Andy and Naomi, it is your long-lost friend, Claire. I called in a couple of months ago, and you guys, as well as Natalie Morales, gave me some excellent advice about how to be better at doing things alone. So I wanted to reach out and give you guys a testimonial, a review, if you will. I've taken your advice, and I've been doing a lot more things alone. I actually have been going to a lot of comedy shows in Albany alone, and I plan on continuing to travel and get out there and go to museums. Museums, I realize, is another awesome thing to do alone because no one notices the girl that's staring at a painting for 2 minutes alone because everyone is doing their own thing. But yeah, just wanted to update you guys that I'm alive and well and thriving, and I hope you guys are too. I love you guys so much. I can't wait to see you the next time you're either in New York City or I'm planning a trip out to LA because we got to hang out. I'll see you guys soon. Bye.
See, we can help people.
You heard it from Claire. We give some advice and we help you get your life right. So I definitely think you need to be calling in. You need to DM. We will take the time, as we do in this episode. We handled two juicy questions today because we took our time. We unpacked it. We came to a consensus. Vella gave us some pearls of wisdom from her healer. So there was a lot. But also, Claire said, she's like, if you guys come back to New York City. Well, guess what, Claire? We coming through, queen!
Yes, if you are in New York this holiday season, on the 29th of December, we will be at the Bell House.
Bigger and better, baby.
In Brooklyn. So far, quite a lineup with Joe Firestone, one of our best friends and a wonderful comedian. And we're going to put together a great show for you. Then we're back here in Los Angeles on the 9th of January. It's a Thursday. John Gabris, who, if you are a fan of Comedy Bang Bang, as I am,
yes,
you know, as Gino the intern, and of course, a thousand other things. Who else? We have other great people on that one. And then Sketchfest is
Friday, January 17th, 10:30 p.m. at the Gateway Theater, San Francisco. We are coming through and we need you to come through for us.
Yes. Incredible lineup, maybe the widest show that we've done.
I mean, I'm working on it. I'm working on it, you guys. Sometimes it happens.
But the dudes from the Magic Tavern podcast, which I think is great, are going to be on. Three of the kids in the hall.
Woo!
Scott Thompson, Dave Foley, Kevin McDonald. I mean, that's unbeatable.
Wow. Andy, this is like your dream episode.
It really is.
Weird whites coming together.
If you want tickets to any of these shows, you can find links at our website, couplestherapypod.com, and just click on See Us Live. While you're there, you can also click on the Patreon link. You know, Naomi, I love sitting at home with you on the couch, surrounded by our animals, just dishing.
We get into it. We spill tea. We just really
clean up the tea.
We clean up the tea after we've spilt it. Then we sip it. Anyway, the point is Patreon, two bonus episodes, just me and Andy getting into it. If you like our dynamic, you'll love our Patreon.
Yeah. So I think that's about it, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's just time to get into this wonderful conversation with Vella where, like, you guys, we like got into some race stuff. I was like, am I being too harsh? Being like, I need you to be my black friend. JK, JK, JK. But you guys, listen to it and get your life.
Roll it.
Oh my God, Vella, how are you doing today?
Girl, yeah, where I'm are good. You inside your heart?
Inside, I'm responding to the rainy day. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling, I'm feeling cozy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling internal.
Yeah.
But also down to get into the rain. You know what I mean?
Interesting. You're giving me a 90s sweater moment.
Ella's
giving us a slouchy, loose, like a red, like she's kind of wearing a nice, like, blanket feel, like she should be in Central Perk holding a big mug.
I was going to say, if this had been, like, a fast fashion-y type thing, this looks like a very nice sweater. Okay. If you had gone down a scale, I would have said, Blossom, giving me Blossom.
Well, that's vibes. All I'm trying to do, is, like, give you those 90s vibes, so I succeeded.
It's good. It's very comfy. I don't have enough warm weather stuff here.
I know.
And then we have like a rainy day like today, and I'm like, oh God, what do I pull out?
I know.
So I'm wearing a winter coat over a thin shirt.
It's confusing.
Mayim Bialik.
Okay, you're doing your 90s vocal warm up.
Oh, yeah, Blossom.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I was like, wait, what?
Are you not watching Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, no.
So, wait.
I missed a few seasons.
You're diving into the rain emotionally, diving into the rain. Like,
yeah.
I found in Los Angeles it's very difficult because the weather almost never matches the sadness you're feeling inside.
Totally.
Which is omnipresent.
Yeah.
Because we're all human. And
spoiler alert.
That I cherish. I am just, I
know.
Absolutely, if I could put these in a little keepsake box, if I had a little music box that could keep a rainy day in it.
Oh, God.
You would do
if
it.
If only I could.
That's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
It feels like something out of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
A music box that keeps a rainy day.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, Andy.
If anything, I'm an existential poet, Naomi.
That's what the rain does to people.
Yes.
Well, I feel like especially like, because you guys are New York transplants, mm-hmm. right? Like, I feel like especially being someone who like lives in New York where the weather like does go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in February, you get like everyone gets severely depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming here, it's kind of disorienting because you're like, wait, where is the weather? How's the weather reflecting my feelings? And it's just not.
Yeah.
But my theory is that's why there's all those like dark cave-like bars in LA is people like need to feel that weird darkness. But it like there's just sunshine all the time.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, how do I find that here?
Yeah. I love a dark, cozy. Like, I love going into a place where when you walk out, you're like, oh, I forgot it was day.
Yeah.
That's a fun experience.
It's also tough to buy cocaine when
when it's bright.
It's really bright.
I agree. Yeah, totally.
As literally, Andy is a teetotaler, takes one Advil PM, and I love that he would even talk about the concept of cocaine.
He gets it.
I live in Hollywood now, babe.
Things are different.
Yeah.
Villa, how is your heart feeling, like, in an emotional place? Where are you with your friendships, your relationships? Oh. You know, are you feeling fulfilled? Are you needing something more?
You know, I'm at this place where I feel like as I get older, it's like I feel like I spent my 20s, like, collecting friendships. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, I have to be everywhere. I want to be friends with everyone. And
like a Pokemon.
Like, yeah, gotta catch them all. Gotta catch all my friends, which is terrifying. And I did, and that was great. And now I'm kind of like, oh, I don't have the energy, actually, to, like, keep up with everyone. Like, it's too hard. I've got too many friends. I sound like I have so many friends. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you kind of start to, I think, be like, okay, who are the friends that I can really, like, double down on, as opposed to, like, just spreading yourself really thin, you know?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I never thought about that before, but it really is. There is a kind of, like, remember when you were younger and you would maybe this is other people, but, like, every improv class I would have, I would, like, go on, I was about to say Friendster. That's how old I am.
I remember Friendster.
Facebook.
Friendster.
And, like, I got to friend everyone in my class.
Yeah.
And then it gets to be, like, you're as old as I am. Also, Facebook is now a fascist company.
Right,
so you don't really want to use it unless you have to.
Right.
But now it's just like, it's too, even to click, even to click on to look someone
it's
up on
much.
It and then click on whatever the thing is now, friend, it just say friend, add friend.
Oh yeah, a friend ask.
To do that is too much.
Yeah,
there's
it's a
shedding.
Lot.
You do this like kind of like friendship
you
shedding
know,
in your 30s.
I just thought maybe it is kind of because of the whole like social media thing that we feel like we have so many like virtual friends, you know, and you know actually what's happening in their lives in a way that we haven't before. So you do feel like you're catching up with people
all the time.
And and then you can be like, wait, I need, like, who are my actual, like, ride or dies right now? And, like, who can I, you know?
But my thing with social, that's what actually is hard for me. I find I mute a lot of people on Instagram.
Oh, that muting is my new favorite thing.
I've never
like,
felt
like less muting.
Never felt free. Because what I realized for me is that for a lot of people, to see them, like, with their parents or to see them on vacation feels actually really weird and invasive.
Yeah,
I met
like,
you one time
at
a comedy
that.
Show
yeah.
and now I know what your mama looked like.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, and especially like if say like you're like kind of casual friends with someone who posts a lot, all of a sudden you know way too much.
Yes.
As opposed to like, you know, maybe your good friend that doesn't post ever, you'd like love to know what they're up to, but you're just like, I can't know this.
Yeah.
I can't know this.
It's too much.
It
feels
much.
Weird. So I do live to mute, but it's also...
Here's live to mute.
Live to mute. That's my truth.
There's merch. put a little Instagram logo-y type thing.
Actually, that's really good.
I love live to mute.
Yeah, it's good.
But I was going to ask you too, like being an actor where you are, because to me there's also this other layer of when a lot of the work you do involves being surrounded by people all day for 10
oh
to 16
God.
Hours
yes.
or whatever. Do you also find that kind of at the end of the day, even though like those aren't your besties, but you've still just been social all day.
Surrounded by people. Yeah, exactly.
Then it's like, I can't.
Oh, yeah. And
one.
I feel like I'm like an outgoing introvert. So I like love people. I love to be around people. But I'm like, after being on set all day, I'm like exhausted even if I didn't really do anything that much because I'm just surrounded by people. And I'm like, that was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there definitely is that need to like just, I don't know, like simplify.
Yeah. Power down.
Yeah. Power just down.
Cut
and
it
like,
off.
Yeah. And that's what those rainy days are really good for.
How do you go about, do you actually actively shed your friends or is it just let the...
I sound like I'm like...
No, I'm with
I'm
you
like,
on
you didn't board. Make it.
No,
thank you for coming to the callback, but we're good. We're going in a different direction.
Because honestly, a lot of our listeners do call in about friendships that end. And it was definitely jarring for me in my 30s when friendships would naturally end. Because I've had friends since I was... in kindergarten.
Yes.
And those are still friendships I was going to say cherish. Have.
You have.
Very different.
Maybe.
They're still pals.
You've got them.
They're still pals. Or just like, Yeah. You know, some of us live different lives, and so it's difficult.
Totally.
But it was jarring then when in my 30s, friendships would just naturally end for whatever reason.
I know.
Like, not a bad one. It's not like there was, like, a blowout or anything
like
that.
Yeah, it's just like...
De Palma's blowout.
We're going in a different direction.
Right, we're going in a different direction.
Like, genuinely, yeah. I think it's really disorienting, especially if you have, if you have friendships that, you know, you have your childhood best friends, and you're like, well, that's been fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I still have those friendships. Like, why is this one that I thought was... you know, okay, like suddenly not working anymore, mm-hmm. you know? And I think I want to put out there that it's like okay to move on from friendships, that it's mm-hmm. not like, you know, like I feel like the first couple times that happened, it was really disorienting and really like sad. And yeah. But I really think it's actually okay. You know what I mean? Like it's natural to kind of be like, oh, you were in my life for this period and yeah. not this one. And that's yeah. totally fine. And if someone makes it from like period to period, you know,
yeah,
that's cool. another catchphrase.
Cool. Cycle to cycle.
Cycle to cycle. Yeah. Moon cycle to moon cycle. Then like then that's great. And
then
we
sees you later.
Exactly.
Get out of here, ho. Gonna write it down though.
Yeah,
write it down.
Yes. Do you actively or is it more like a mutual ghosting?
I mean, ooh, that's a good question.
Or you're just like, hey, break up. Like a friend, I've heard yeah, people friend have breakup. Friend breakups before. It's strange. Yeah. That's strange.
I've never had a friend breakup, but I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, oh, maybe this person said something hurtful to me and I'm not going to reach out to them like for lunch, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But like if they reach out to me, maybe we'll get together. But maybe it's not like, oh, I see you 3 times a week like yeah. we did in college, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, whereas before I would let go of a lot of little things that I was like, oh, we're not gelling perfectly, but I really want to have you as my friend because yeah. I think you're so cool. And now I'm like, I feel like it's okay if we don't see each other all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it's like, it's not that big of a deal if like, you know, if you're, this is the most LA thing I've ever said, but I see a healer sometimes.
Okay, this is going to bring me to my next question, but
yeah,
go
yeah.
ahead.
But
like
she,
a Reiki healer?
I don't even know. I'm like, girl.
General healing.
I
don't know about this.
You know. Hashtag general healing. So, but like she says this thing where she's like, you're like, you should only, like you have to fill up your own cup and then anything that overflows, that's for your friend. Like that's for your relationships, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, it's like the airplane rule. You put
your own mask on
first.
Exactly. Yeah. So I really responded to that of like, oh, if I'm drained and then I'm like, I have to see this friend or she's going to cut me out of mm-hmm. her life. I'm like, I think I'm okay with like,
yep.
you know, giving
yeah.
that time to myself versus like, you know, and then the friends that like are there and are like, oh, it's fine that I haven't seen you for a couple of months. Can't wait to catch up. I'm like, that's sustainable.
Yeah.
That feels
yeah,
like
yeah,
something yeah. I can like, you know.
Let's go back to this healer. Okay. Because
oh, no.
If memory serves, like you did grow up a little bit hippie-ish, right? Like
yeah,
in the desert or something?
In New Mexico. Yeah.
And is your mom like a hippie-dippy?
Yes.
I remember you so distinctly telling me how like your mom was like, put an onion on the bottom of your
yes!
foot.
Yes. Oh, my God.
But for, I forget what.
Sorry, hold on. All right, everyone. Nope. Stop. Nope.
Your
All
memory
right.
is so good.
All right. Put an onion.
Yes.
Cut it.
A cut.
End
so
of play.
Take a sweet onion, take a yellow onion.
Well,
purple.
Okay, here's the thing. At some point, I need my mom to just write down all her witchy remedies. But yeah, apparently, if you're sick.
I'm on the edge
and
of my
he's
seat.
Keeping a neutral face.
If you're sick, you could put onions on your feet.
And then put a sock over it.
And then you put socks over it. And the onions, like, have you ever heard, like, it's kind of an old wives' tale or whatever, that like if you have a spider bite, like you put a potato on that spider bite and the potato drops.
Andrew is looking at Bella with the blank eyes. I mean,
I just need to come to New Mexico and I will show you all the witchy ways. But so, yeah, so like, so I guess it's like the onion will suck some of the poison out of your pores. So I had been sick with, I had like, I think it's called like a periotonsillar abscess or something. Ooh. I just had pus in my tonsils when
I
was 12 for like weeks. Like it was like I was so sick. And so my mom just busted out all the things before then just getting me antibiotics and I was fine. Like I was totally fine. And I was like, who could have done that? I was walking around with onions in my socks.
Oh my God. hard.
And a garlic poultice I also had on my neck.
Okay.
Like, yeah. That also did not work.
True,
I mean, maybe
witchy
it
ways.
Worked. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I was better than if we had just went straight to antibiotics. I don't know.
So
we'll never know.
Your mother time traveled from 1830s
for sure.
Hungary.
Yes, 100%. And then I also would do like hot ginger baths.
If you're steeping your body in ginger.
Yeah, so if you're like real, if you have a fever and then you like put like ginger in a bath.
What are we saying? Like, tell me how much. Because when I hear these kind of things,
yeah.
I'm always like, okay, what's the ratio
you're
you
like,
need for this
like
shit to work?
It.
Exactly.
You're
like grating it in the tub. How much ginger
salt
are we talking? Like ginger
so
juice?
So I think what you do is I think you wrap a whole thing of ginger, like the whole.
The big old bulb.
The big old bulb. Yeah. You wrap it like in something like like a cheesecloth or like you wrap it in a cloth.
Cheesecloth is involved in a lot of these remedies.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Witches. Yeah. Love their cheesecloths. So you wrap it, the ginger, you put it in the bath, let it steep like tea, essentially. And then you get in the bath and you're like, you have a fever, so you're hot. The ginger bath is hot. Crazy things are happening. And then you get out, you wrap yourself in like a blanket, mm-hmm. and then you break your fever, essentially.
Huh. So like a sweating it out, like kind
yes.
of getting yourself like,
yes.
break, like sweat it out, break it.
Exactly.
I hear there's
yeah.
a special room at Sugarfish where you can do that. They feed you unagi.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait.
Yeah. I've done all of the witchy remedies. So.
When you use the adjective witchy, do you mean like what? Did she was she Wiccan, or
no,
is this just like
no.
a kind of like
she just felt
this is
it
just
out.
Like New Mexico?
Yeah.
This is just what happens out
following
in the desert.
Her intuition, yeah. kind of. Yeah, I mean, I told this story at UCB, but I had a period. She threw me a period party.
What
for my first period? Yeah.
And how did that feel for you?
Terrible. It's probably informed most of my life.
Oh,
was
my.
There cake?
I think there was.
Oh yeah.
And there all and my neighbors were there.
Yeah, who do you invite to a period
well,
party?
Well, it was a surprise period party.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah.
But you already had your period, you knew.
Oh,
I
didn't need any more humiliation
right.
and it was
how
all.
Many days into your first menstrual cycle? Because I want to know if this was like plan if like
oh,
it was
my
already-
first day. First
so she
day.
Put together Let's be honest. She put together a party in one day.
A surprise party. A surprise party
with
in a
cake.
Day.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So, yeah, really.
Are you an only child?
Only child, yeah.
Okay.
It was just me and my mom growing up.
Okay.
So
yeah, yeah,
I think
yeah.
I just got, I got all of her.
Oh, my God.
I got a lot of her her wisdom slash.
This is too much.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Where
lot.
In New Mexico? I asked because I was just in Albuquerque.
Oh, no.
That
were
was
you
my
shooting
first
something?
Time. No, I was doing it. It was a comedy festival.
In Albuquerque?
That's your cover.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Santa Fe flew
yeah.
into Albuquerque. And then it was
and
like
it was
drove
in
to Santa Fe.
Weird.
But I was like, but also it was interesting because like there was a lot of witchy energy. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
older white women,
yep.
a lot of turquoise,
yep.
a lot of beading.
Yep.
But then also here's a question. I saw no black people.
Oh, there are
and
no
I was
black
on
people.
Edge.
Yeah.
So
no,
what was
crazy.
Going on there?
So well, so I'm mixed. So my
yeah.
dad's black, my mom's like Jewish mm-hmm. and witch.
Yeah.
Jewish.
Oh my God.
Jewish.
No. We did it.
I mean, fantastic portmanteau,
yeah.
but still. No.
But so there's a lot of Hispanic people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I would say it's like 85% Hispanic, mm-hmm. probably like 13% white, and then like 2% everything else.
Uh-huh.
So, like, me and this other girl who was like my best friend in high school, we were the only, she was also half black,
mm-hmm.
and then there was like one other black, like fully black guy,
uh-huh.
I think, in the school. Maybe another, maybe two.
Did they give you a hard time? Did you have any hard times
I think they just
growing
because,
up with a witch
well,
in the desert?
Yeah, no. I think because, like, honestly, because, and actually me and my this friend, we mm-hmm. had this conversation recently.
Yeah.
It was kind of great and also weird growing up in New Mexico
yeah.
as a mixed person because it's like, I think because everyone just saw that we had brown skin, they just didn't. There was no question.
Okay.
It was just kind of like, well, whatever, you know.
Okay.
No one really, like, thought
yeah.
too much about it,
mm-hmm.
But also no one really asked us about it. You
uh-huh.
know what I mean? I think it was kind of a double-edged sword
yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
it was like because we were just had brown skin, it was like, oh, you fit in, you
mm-hmm.
know, like because everyone was pretty much
yeah,
brown
yeah.
in
some someone's way. Tan, someone's ruddy.
Someone's, yeah, yeah.
Someone's
red.
They're white. You know,
yeah.
even they're white.
Yes,
like, yeah.
exactly. And everyone's just used to that. So
yeah.
there aren't really a lot. Of, it's not
oh,
like
okay.
who like singling you out,
mm-hmm.
you know. But also, yeah, there was also not really a black community
right,
at all.
Right,
yeah.
right, right. You probably got more questions about like,
why she got a pocket full of dreidels?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, or like, why does she have onions in her socks?
That's the question.
That was the question.
That was the question.
Yeah, why exactly.
Why does she have latkes in her socks?
Yeah, but it's
there's, weird. Ooh, kids book.
Latkes in her socks.
Latkes in her socks.
We're
on fire. We're coming up with slogans. We're coming up with
t-shirts.
Books. We're coming up with a brand.
Hats. We're ready.
Did you ever go, so like coming out of that though, I'm just like very curious about this whole New Mexican biracial moment you were having, by moment I mean your life.
My life,
Did you then?
Hey, a moment in geological terms.
Yeah. A moment in geological terms.
Yeah.
Did you then, like once you kind of left, you know, and then as you started to encounter more people who were like, what are you? Because I remember that very distinctly just that episode of Crazy Ex where a character...
Oh, that was just my life, yeah.
But that's not assumed. Like, I was like, oh, this, like, had to have come from...
Yeah, fully.
I was like, you know, so... But I was like, you know, as you kind of get that more in life...
Yeah.
Did you ever go through this... Like, did people ever kind of make you feel like... You ain't acting black or doing the black thing or like, okay, now I got to read a bell hooks or like, you know, do something.
Well, all
like,
lowercase.
Yeah.
All lowercase.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, and I like minored in Africana studies at college. Like I was really trying. Like I was
back.
Like, I'm coming back. I'm here. And then I was like, oh, I'm just like, I realized I was like, I'm going to get way more mileage out of just being myself, I think, than like trying to fit into this mold that I'm like, where am I? You know, I was just like, I just need to like just fully just be black and just like that's in my blood. I can't, I literally can't, you know, that's what it is. And so like, you know, I think I kind of reached that. I kind of after college, I was like very V confused. I was just like, wait, what? Like I was trying to be in like I think there was like the black community at NYU had this like hip hop theater class.
What?
Yeah. And it, I mean, a lot of great people came out of it. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, do you know Utkarsh Ambedkar?
Yeah.
He was in that group. Like, he was the Indian who was rapping in that. My friend Wade, like, a bunch of people were like hip-hop plus theater. And I think I tried to audition for it or whatever and, like, do my first rap. And I was like, this is not – that's not my brand.
You had to write your own rap?
I had to write my own rap, yeah. I think it was more of that, like, that poem that you said earlier. And the teacher was like, oh, okay.
How was your flow?
Yeah, not great. No. I mean, I did learn the rap to Waterfalls.
Yes.
For, like – maybe that audition or another audition, and that's that. I feel like that's my fine. Yeah, that's my finest flow moment that I've had. But yeah, I think it's like, you know, college is for a lot of things, but for me, I was like, I went to NYU, so I was just like, oh my god, like meeting all these people for the first time, you know, and kind of being like, where do I fit into all of this, you know? And like, yeah, so I mean, I think just forever, people will be confused by my face. So I just have to accept that and kind of be like, this is me. And like, that people are going to be confused. And
I mean, I think
was
it's
there
funny.
A moment for you, Naomi, where what? You, I mean, you grew up in white spaces, going to Dalton.
White spaces.
Mm-hmm.
White spaces.
White spaces.
White spaces.
Oh, in New
white
York?
Faces.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, truly. Well, it's funny because you say waterfalls because I was like, honey, they had me rapping waterfalls at the bar about mitzvahs in seventh grade, meaning that
everyone's
was
like
the hot song.
You.
It would come and they'd be like, give her the microphone. And so like I had to kind of just learn it by default because there was an expectation that I would know it.
Oh, right?
Sorry, like a spotlight comes up.
Yeah, like it was like, give her the microphone. Or like the way people would like, they would always have like the Nick City dancers at bar about mitzvahs and it was always like this assumption that I could dance. And
right.
It's just like, okay, I know the twos and the fours, but I'm not giving
you
moves.
Right.
Okay, I have no, like, I have rhythm, but not like movement at all.
Right.
And it was like always that expectation to do that. And then you get to college and then other places where it was like, I wasn't black enough.
Oh,
right. Like,
yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, there's no, no one's confused about who I am, but then actual, like, black people would often tell me, you know, you talk white, you ain't this, you ain't whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's always been very interesting.
You're not reading enough Audre Lorde.
I'm not reading enough Audre Lorde. I mean, I was
who
reading
is? Who is?
But it is just funny because I was saying to you, I'm always saying to you, Andy, and like, when we like book our show or do whatever, I'm always like, I need more black friends. What am I doing wrong that I don't have black friends? Because I do feel like, especially not, I think just the time we've all grown up, but then also as our age, I think people are just, there's no, I get less of this, you're not black, right? I feel like people are kind of accepting different ways to exist.
Yeah.
And I think the older we get, it's more like just be who you are.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, then where are my black friends?
Where are my people?
I'm not understanding. And so, you know, I get very stressed out about it. Like I was thinking about our wedding and I was like, Jesus, Andy, am I going to be looking out to a sea of white faces?
Do you know what? I thought about that yesterday.
When do you guys get married?
We don't know yet, but I just.
Okay, well, you have a certain amount of time.
Not true. We have a deadline.
Yeah.
Our 10th anniversary is next March.
Oh my
we're
gosh.
Getting hitched
before
then.
Then.
We're getting hitched on the 10th anniversary. Oh, that way we don't have to change our anniversary.
I love that. I was just talking to my boyfriend about that, about how it's like you have two anniversaries mm-hmm. then and how confusing that is.
Yeah.
Depending on how long you've dated for, and then all of a sudden you have this other random
date
day
to pay attention to.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's too hard. Yeah. I think you're doing it right.
Yeah. And then we'll plan the part and make sure we have the part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I feel that though. Like I think it's definitely like Black excellence is like at just this all time. Like mm-hmm. it feels like it's so deep and strong right now. And so I think there is this need to be like, wait,
right.
Like, I'm excited about I'm excited to be Black and I'm like proud of that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like not trying to kind of hide from it, you know?
I know. But it still feels like there's like a certain way mm-hmm. to do it. Like the way in terms of like mm-hmm. culturally or like pop culturally accessible.
Oh, yes.
Like the thing that's like in now, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you being like, God damn, I gotta grow this hair natural again.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like I'm like, okay, you're not doing
but
what
really,
you should be doing.
It's like every single person has their own way of doing everything. Like every single Black person is completely different. And so it's like, you know, I don't think there's any one right way to do
this is why I brought you here, Vella. I needed to just handle my scandal.
You are perfect.
I needed to handle my scandal.
You are beautiful.
Oh, poor Vella, done put her ass to work. Okay, we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to come back. Now that y'all know Vella and where she's at, we are going to just, like, help you handle your scandal, okay? So we're going to be right back.
You being the listener.
Hey guys, Naomi here to talk to you about Native personal care products. Okay, I'm coming through loving Native because their products are natural. They have simple ingredients and they are formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc. Instead, you are getting some dope deodorants made with stuff like coconut oil, okay? Tapioca starch. Did you know it absorbs wetness and it'll make you feel good? Personally, I love the Native eucalyptus and mint. Oh my God, that deodorant, I felt like it was like fresh. It was light. I had a little bit of a scent, but I didn't smell like chemicals. Do you know what I mean? And it actually kept me dry. So if you are interested in trying Native, you should. They have over 9,000 five-star reviews. So, you know, all those people can't be wrong. So if you are interested in giving Native a try, trying some products that are good for your body, that also smell kind of nice and help you stay cool and under control, you should go to nativedeodorant.com and use promo code THERAPY to get 20% off your first purchase. Again, go to nativedeodorant.com and use promo code THERAPY during checkout to get 20% off your first purchase. All right, you welcome. And we're back, baby. We're sitting here with Vella Lovell, right?
Lavelle. It's both.
It's what do you feel? What do you want it to be today?
I feel Lavelle.
Lavelle. Well, Lavelle is the drama.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
The drama.
Like, yeah, Vella Lavelle.
Mm-hmm.
Vella Lavelle.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Is that one of your parents' last names or?
My mom's last name.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Jewish?
No.
Andy is really
many stories.
I need you to be
Andy
my Black friend and he needs you to be his Jewish friend.
I know. So actually their last name was Saperstein, but then I guess great-grandfather changed it because he saw it on the side of a bus and he was a doctor and he felt like that was going to like
Dr. Lavelle.
Yeah. No, it was they say Lovell. So that
okay.
I think my mom kind of, I don't know. Mm-hmm, there's different factions now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If you press like that and you record an album, it could be called Lovell Up.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Ooh.
You're welcome.
That's good.
You're welcome.
I know you didn't say thank you, but.
I start recording tomorrow. This is great. That's not really. I don't think that's a Jewish name at all. I think it's maybe an English name or something, but I don't know. He found it and changed it. So it was Saperstein. So I've got some Saperstein.
You're Vella? Enough. You don't have to prove a damn thing to us, okay?
No.
I hear you. I respect you. I see you.
Vella Saperstein's coming over. She's bringing a kugel.
I know. You can see it.
Oh, my God. You a damn mess. We a damn mess.
Who, me?
Both of us. But I'm just so excited. I haven't seen this one in 2 years. I'm like, look at her. She hasn't aged a day.
Before I get it, it's true. Before I get to this, New Mexico all the way to New York.
I went to actually boarding school in Michigan for my last 2 years of high school because I thought I was going to be like a concert pianist.
What?
So hold on.
I'm not going to get this question yet.
Yeah. So I majored in classical piano at this arts boarding school. And then I was like, I can't do this.
Why?
I think I'm just like, I like people and I like talking to people. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing classical piano, it's just you in a room alone. And I was like, no. I can't. Like, and I love piano, but I wasn't like, oh, I have to practice. I want to practice 6 hours a day, which is what I think you have to do.
I was
going to
ask you, like, how many, like, when you're in school for it, right, when those last 2 years, what is that? How many hours a day are you playing piano?
Well, I mean, it's up to you, but it's like the people who were doing really well were like waking up early, like waking up like 6 a.m. to not before breakfast, practicing at lunch, practicing at dinner, and practicing after dinner.
Okay.
So probably 6 hours a day. Oof. They were doing it. So, and I was like barely doing two. I was like, I think I can do two before I would just like atrophy and just, you know, and I would always take these like theater classes, like minor, like, because I love doing that back home in New Mexico. And so all of a sudden I was like, oh, I just play piano here. And I had gotten this scholarship and I was just like, I'm glad to be at this awesome school because the schools in New Mexico are not great.
Okay.
Really?
They're terrible.
In the American Southwest.
Yeah. The meth capital. Yeah. I think New Mexico is like 47th or something on the public education. It's it's not great. So, yeah. So I had gotten this opportunity to go to the school and I was like, my mom really wanted me to go. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'll do this thing. But then I was like, this isn't me. Mm-hmm. So I auditioned for a theater school.
Oh, okay.
That's how that happened.
And then NYU happened.
Rock bottom enough?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Like a Marc Maron voice.
Thank you.
You're
thank
like,
you.
Who are you guys?
Who are you guys?
Who are you guys? Yeah, I love Chopin. And I love Bach and Debussy.
Oh, yeah.
Those are my guys.
Yeah. Those are your guys.
Not a lot of ladies. Actually, zero ladies.
Well, you have to go into the modern era, right?
Yeah.
Really to...
Yeah. Honestly, I'm this is so sad. I literally can't name any, like, off the top of my head. I'm like, I don't know any, like... classical lady
okay, listeners,
piano
come
players.
Through on Twitter and tell
please
us.
Please come through.
It's weird. Come like, I know a lot of female modern composers.
Yeah, of course.
Whereas, like you're Meredith Monk's, you're...
I love Meredith Monk, yeah.
But, like...
But not a lot of...
but not a pianist.
Classical
specifically.
Piano. Yeah.
Huh.
Do you have that ability, like, all... That's my favorite thing, like... So, like, if you were at a party and there was a piano there, like, you could just, like, go on the piano and just be, like, fucking tickle the ivories and get us all, like,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Dear listeners, hello! Andy here again with an ad read. Wait, Andy, not Naomi, is doing this? You might be asking yourself. And I'm going to tell you why, because today I'm talking to you about StoryWorth. If your parents, if your family are anything like mine, they are wonderful people. But also they are, maybe, a bit repressed. And not really forthcoming with details about their lives, their feelings... You know, they're just tight-lipped about everything except the weather or what's for dinner. And that's why I love StoryWorth. Over the course of a year, every week, StoryWorth emails your loved ones a thought-provoking question. Things like, what were your next-door neighbors like when you were a child? What would you change about your childhood? Did you have a favorite teacher in middle school? What made them great? Questions that could really allow you to get to know them and in a manner that might get these folks in your life to actually open up. So they get these questions, they email back their response, you get a copy so that there's something exciting in your inbox besides 300 emails from a restaurant you went to once in 2015. Yes, I'm talking about myself mostly. And then after a year, Storyworth compiles all of those stories into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. I mean, Mother's Day is coming up, and my mom, famously difficult to shop for. But with Storyworth, I can learn something about her besides her favorite food? I mean, crab cakes, I know that. But I really didn't know much else about my mom, which is why Storyworth is ideal. And then, when she gets that hardcover book, like a tailored to her autobiography, hoo boy! Gotta tell ya, parents love personalized books. It's a fact. So, give all the moms in quotes in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/couples. That's storyworth.com/couples to save $10 on your first purchase.
Moment. That's like all I wish I could do.
A moment.
I played the piano when I was very little and then like stopped.
Yeah.
But I like was obsessed. Like you always see that, you know, like in a movie where someone just like goes to the piano and then suddenly everyone gathers around and they've created a moment.
Yeah.
The room. The Cheers theme
for
song.
The room. Yes.
And I'm like, so you could do that. Like you could literally just come
I
in here
could.
And just
my moment is almost always with Titanic because that was my favorite movie whenever it came out.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed and like learned the theme song. And for some reason that has stuck in my head more than like anything.
Yeah.
Like, I have a couple classical songs that are still there fully, like, and I have some just, like, little chunks. But, like, for whatever reason, Titanic, I'm like, I got it for life.
That's a good one, though. I think everyone in the room would know that. You'd be bringing us
they
together.
Do. Yeah, and
like, you'd
do.
Be like, what? And then it's like, wait, Vella? Yeah, that's fun. That, to me, is, like, literally the best skill you could ever have is just sitting at a piano and then just making something happen.
Yeah, why is it that, like, you can someone could go play piano beautifully at a party and it, like, it really impresses people and it really brings the party up. Whereas if someone's playing guitar, destroys.
All of a sudden, everyone's just singing Wonderwall and just like.
But they're like mad about it. You know what I mean? Like it's like when somebody brings a guitar, you're like, oh God, you're stealing focus.
Yes.
And right. But yet a piano, I don't know. I think there's something about the grand nature of the piano.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about that.
I feel like guitar. I also so associate that guitar thing with college and like dudes who
and like campfire. Like they're trying to have a campfire moment. You're like gather around.
Yeah. No, we don't want it. But it's true. What is it about the piano?
Well, I feel like a lot of spaces have pianos, you know, like so it's not something like it's not like, oh, like, you know, I'm trying to think of a white guy name. Yeah. Like Sean brought his guitar again. You know what I mean? Like everyone sees it coming. Yes. Whereas like you can just kind of be like, oh, a piano. Weird. Okay.
I should.
Let me slide right in. Yeah.
I love the idea of like a weird, creepy dude who like hauls a piano with him. Not a
yeah,
baby
you
grand,
know.
But just like one of the, you know, he has like a little truck. He goes and then brings it out at parties to play
like,
Wonderwall.
You're like, I see you, Sean. Yeah.
All right.
Are you ready to answer some questions?
Yeah, I'm excited. Right.
This first one, I'll say this is a doozy. This comes to us. Ooh. I don't know if she wanted it to be anonymous, so we'll just say
anonymous.
Her sign-off line, which is...
which is don't say my name.
Exactly.
Sad stepmom of bonus son on West Coast.
Oh.
So this comes to us by email from sad stepmom of bonus son on West Coast. Hi, Naomi and Andy and Mabel and Squee and Prem and beautiful guest Vella.
Aww.
Wow. She knows
all.
So where to begin?
My
husband and I have a blended family. We raised our eldest boys together from teen years on. Both are in their early 20s now. Our eldest is in the army, which is rough having him so far away. He is with a girl who he is head over heels for and who seemed very sweet when they stayed with us. I maintained a text relationship mostly with her. Parentheses. They've been together less than a year.
Less than a year.
Okay.
And she's texting with the stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Huh? Okay. They've had a few trouble spots because of an overly involved ex she has.
Oh.
She has an overly involved ex.
Yes.
And now the son and her are dealing with that. Okay.
And she wasn't open with our son about why they were still having contact. Mm. I chalked it up to her having come from a difficult childhood, which I won't go into because the more details, the more I can't keep this anonymous.
Right. Yep.
Anyway, our son is being deployed early next year and has been talking about getting married as there are benefits for them if they are married before he deploys, which is okay, fine. As long as you've sorted out the whole ex and established healthy communication.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
While we were talking for a long time, parentheses, hours, about this other guy situation, he told me she was pregnant.
Oh.
Okay.
I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. I am his stepmom, but my mom's senses started tingling or whatever, and I asked if he was sure.
Oh.
He said she was, quote, showing so definitely, unquote. I still had my doubts because she pushed out her belly many times when she was staying with us to be funny. She thinks this is... You wouldn't, right? If you were pregnant, you wouldn't, like, push out your tummy. You wouldn't draw a picture, like, a face on your tummy. And be like, hey. That's my tummy voice.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
Hey, it's me, tummy. You ate too much
breakfast. You have to finish this story.
You ate too many breakfast burgers. The more info he gave me, the more something seemed off. They were supposed to have an ultrasound, but she ended up going to get one without him over the weekend that they were having a fight. He really does want to marry her, but he said she kept kind of pushing the getting married before he deploys thing. She's pushing it off. Yeah.
Pushing it off. Yeah. Okay.
Starting to feel fishy, right, guys? Just wait.
Oh my God. This is a roller coaster.
I know.
She and I talk and text, mostly text because I don't love when people call my texting machine.
So her phone is her texting machine.
So I texted her and asked her to send me a picture of the ultrasound. She delayed for a long time and said she would find the best one that the doctor emailed her, which is weird because usually they give you a printed picture right then, but okay. Uh-huh. Finally, she sent one, but it was cropped. I had my doubts, so...
Oh, so you couldn't see the name.
Yep, the name, the date, all that.
I had my doubts, so I Googled 3-month ultrasound and found the exact picture she sent me, but uncropped, only 6 images down.
Oh, God.
You guys, this shit is so crazy.
Oh, my God.
Holy.
I'll be attaching pictures to this email. She did. I saw the picture that she was sent and the Google picture image are exactly the same.
Oh, my God.
It's the exact picture. Even the woman's womb has the exact black spots. One even looks like exclamation point. Like she's like, like a Rorschach test in the ultrasound and they look the exact same. That was my commentary.
The Rorschach. Yeah, that was you. Mm-hmm.
The baby's face is the same. The leg, even just a little under the baby's back, is a sharp white line that ends in a point.
Oh, my God.
So, obviously, I called and texted him, her stepson, immediately and sent him the screenshot of her text and what I found. I even sent him a screen recording comparing the two photos.
Oh, my God.
He said that he can't just go around accusing her of something like that, but that he would get an ultrasound ASAP. Mm-hmm. I followed up, and he just is vague. He says they're fine. I eventually told his dad, my husband, because I'm super worried that he's with a fucking psycho. Mm-hmm. He almost flew out there to talk to him about it, but then we're like, what's he going to say? He's an adult. Mm-hmm. He's a grown man, and he's in love with a wackadoo.
Love with a wackadoo.
Yeah.
I already decided it would be going too far to involve his mother. She is an A-type personality and would probably fly out and get in the middle of things there for him. Which I love about her, but I can't betray his trust, and I don't know that it would matter anyway. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, he has grown to the point where he can sacrifice his life for his country, which is a real possibility in a couple months. Mm-hmm. I love him so much, just as I do my other sons, and it breaks my fucking heart and makes me so mad to think of someone hurting him in any way. I know I can't pretend she isn't psycho and continue a relationship with her, but this means not getting to see him, at least until he realizes what's up. But will he ever? I'm just not fake like that. What do I do? Stad stepmom of bonus son on West Coast.
Oh my God.
And she says, yet very happy Patreon subscriber.
This is like so too much.
This is epic. Like this is an epic.
Truly.
Epic letter.
I can't take it. It's so funny because you said you were like, we have a story. We have a question coming in that's a doozy. And I was like, tell me. And you were like, no, we have to like do it as a trainer. And I see why. Because I'm like, I don't even know.
There are so many layers.
So many layers
to that. Because like the second I'm like, oh, it should be this. Then I'm like, but I also
get
the other side.
Extremely tough. I only know this from watching my sister when she first started dated some real losers. Mm-hmm. Erica, if you're listening, I think we're all on the same page with some of your high school boyfriends. And my parents, the way that they dealt with it was they gave her space. Because if they just went and said, no, you can't date this person, she would have gone around their back probably and dated them.
Right.
It didn't stop her from dating them, but it also, I don't think she like rebelled.
Right.
And so it's really difficult. Like, how much space do you give someone if they're dating a lunatic?
Right. I mean, it's also so hard because I mean, I don't have kids. I can't imagine the responsibility you feel for their happiness and their sense of well-being. And so if you see that they're literally with a psycho person, I can see that you would just want to just put an end to it. But I don't know. I mean, my first instinct when hearing that is like to, just like let it all happen. Because especially with like, I just, as a rule of thumb, like, I feel like if you ever say anything bad about someone's relationship, it can just completely backfire on you. And all of a sudden, maybe, say they end up being with that person for the rest of their life, then they can't be around you because then they're like, oh, you disapprove of this relationship. And then all of a sudden, you're a reminder of all the bad things in your part in this person's partner. And all of a sudden, so you don't want to be around them. So, like, I don't think that she should risk not, you know, not having her stepson want her as a part of their lives by throwing down the gauntlet and being like, this person's evil.
Right. Have you ever had a friend who was with somebody, or were you with somebody that your friends didn't approve of? Like, have you ever had that go down?
Yeah, I feel like I've more been the friend that's like, maybe not. that doesn't approve. But like, I just think you, I just think anytime you say anything, and I've also, I will say, like, I've witnessed a good friend tell another, like, another one of our best friends to leave. To leave her. Her man. And it would, and now they don't talk about that anymore.
Was like, that she won't, due she to won't, psycho?
Due to like infidelity stuff. But now they're still together. She won't open up about that stuff anymore because she knows that this other friend.
I'm like, you don't want it.
So it's like, I feel like it's that hard thing where you're like, you don't want to. Sometimes if you put those boundaries down by saying you're with this person that I don't approve of, you can end up actually losing your relationship.
Right. And especially because it's really tricky because when you know someone, whether it's relationship or just like any unhealthy situation, it can be so hard to draw that line, that kind of intervention line where it's like, I'm going to cut you off if you don't get it together. Because a lot of times the very thing a person needs is to know that they have other people. You know what I mean? So that if, when they do hit that wall, they know that like there is an out, there is a couch they can stay on, there are people who like them. It's like you can't be too harsh if you want them to be able to like walk out the door.
Because then say your stepson and this woman, like, you know, years down, you know, 2 weeks later they split up. Then you can be like, she's a psycho. You know, like be like fully let it out. But until then, I mean, probably your stepson knows. That's the thing. I'm just like, don't you think people always know, even if it's like deep down? Like you just, you're never, I don't know.
I know what you mean. I'm like, maybe, I wonder.
Maybe not. But
I know.
You have an inkling that like maybe there's something or maybe there's
He must
like,
have, because to me, especially the first, I mean, just in and of itself that she would not let him be at the ultrasound or use the moment when they weren't connecting to have the ultrasound is like funky. And then also this like, you know, you went from saying you went to marry to somebody pushing it off, let alone not, you know, still having this relationship with your ex that is not clarified.
Right.
So there's so many levels that, yes, I feel like this, you know, the son, he must know that something is off. But then it's so true. I think especially because, you know, what is he was probably what she said. Like, he's like in his 20s, I imagine. Where it's like, you do have to learn for yourself.
You have to.
You have to. Unfortunately, you have to experience the thing going bad and being shitty to know how to get out of it, to know how to see it in the future and avoid it and like all those things. You can't just leave because your mom tells you to.
Right. Can I quote my healer one more time?
Well, I guess I'll allow it.
She said this thing that I think is amazing, which she was like, don't rob anyone of their rock bottom. And I think that is so true, because it's like, I think sometimes we want to be like, I want to prevent this person I care about from experiencing their rock bottom, which is what, like, you know, he finds out the, you know, the mother of his child is like cheating on him or a psycho or whatever, whatever it is. But it's like, that's his rock bottom to experience. Like, at the end of the day, it becomes like, you actually can't experience that for him as much as you want to. You know, like,
is this healer just Ayanla Van Zandt? I mean, what is going on? That she's sounds like a therapist. This sounds like someone who just gets it.
Yeah. By the way, does she have merch? Don't rub someone else on the rock bottom.
She
That's
should.
A t-shirt.
She really should. Yeah.
She sounds great.
She's amazing.
Do you just like talk to her, or is there? Like,
oh yeah.
Just a talk. It's a conversation.
Different. It's different every time.
Interesting.
I recommend healers for everyone. No matter who you are.
Is this in lieu of therapy or?
Oh, addition. Addition. But yeah, so I would just say that, like, and I'm sure as a mother, stepmother, regardless, someone who like cares for this man, like, you know, you're probably wanting to take on that pain for him.
Yeah.
But like, you just, it's so hard. It's you so just hard. Can't. I just think you can't. Like, you literally, like, no matter what, like, say, like, you know, you intercept and you're like, you're dating a psycho, break up with her, and he does. Like, that's also like,
That doesn't help long term. That person. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're not helping that person long term.
Yeah.
Here's the other question that, okay, so you give the person space. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think back to my parents. Like, how do they deal with some of these scummy BFs?
You quit it. She listens. Stop making it sound like they were pod people.
They weren't pod people. They weren't. It wasn't like she was dating like a sewer creature.
Right.
Pod people.
I know. Just like, that's all I can think
but
of. Just,
but I guess no one this, I don't know if she dated anyone this duplicitous that I knew about.
Right.
To, sad stepmom. If she's still in her stepson's life, how do you deal with this person going forward?
Because
I would just fucking shut down.
Oh, I get
it. If I had to deal with a rat.
Right. Something you didn't
like.
Well,
yeah, when she was saying, like, how do I even be in a – I think she said that. Like, how do I, like, be around
her? Right,
and I'm like, I feel for her so much. Like, that must be so hard to be, like, just swallow everything and then just be like, sure, everything's great when, like, you know it's – you just know in your gut that it's not.
Well, I think there's also some – I'm not really into also this person texting with stepmom so much.
Yeah.
It's been less than a year, and it's, like, a little too much. It's a little
too
much.
I would say maybe boundaries are good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Boundaries are always good. Like, she's not in a relationship with this woman.
Right.
So, like, she actually doesn't have to – yeah, like, text on the daily or, like, you know, or kind of be like – know what's up with her. Like, she can just be like, I'll see her
I'll see you Christmas.
Christmas.
Yep. And like, keep it as limited as possible.
Limited, light, and simple. And let him figure, oh, that's so hard.
I know.
But this woman is carrying her step grandchild in her saved picture folder on her laptop.
Yeah, yes. Oh, right. Yes.
She's carrying her grandchild on the laptop.
That was a long, muddy walk. But
Well, I mean, she'll know. I'm like, she'll know in a few months, right? Like,
well, hopefully, but I hope that if she is truly pregnant, that the person who is the actual father will know that they are the actual father.
But
that's
also, this is
because that's not fair to either person.
If this is a hoax, I'm wondering what this woman's end game is. Why fake this in the first place? Like, why? Like, if she's, it's one thing. I thought it was going towards like she's gung ho on getting married.
That's
He's
what
not,
I thought, but no.
And, and this is like an old school kind of like I'm pregnant. I guess we have to get married now type situation.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like that. So
kind
I'm like, what is the? So it just seems like that there is a. Weird hoax going on, and I don't know why the woman, why her stepson's
girlfriend
is perpetrating the hoax. Is she mentally? The
only
because you're saying like in a few. Well, a reason I'm saying this is like you said, like in a few months we'll find out. I'm like, no. If
Maybe
she's like
won't.
Pulling this, if she's pulling off some kind of weird hoax, she'll be like, oh, I lost the child. Is it like a Munchausen by proxy type thing where she uses this or whatever? What's the one where you abuse someone else to get sympathy?
Oh.
Yeah,
that's Munchausen
by
proxy, right?
Yeah.
Is there something else going on here than just
– because
then there's a – like if her stepson's girlfriend is genuinely mentally ill, that's different.
That's a whole other thing.
That's slightly dangerous. And then it's like, well, what do you do then? How do you actually?
Oh my gosh.
This is more than the three of us can unpack.
No, 100%.
Okay? Because you truly can never even know this woman's motive.
No.
And to try to get into it, it can be so hard because I think we want to try to get into that person's head to, in some ways, find a way to kind of make sense of it, right? And justify like what is happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't even work from that. When you're dealing with somebody, you know, you have to kind of stay in the sense of, okay, what is this behavior? how does this behavior affect me? Is a behavior that needs to be changed.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, to me, it's like, what's happening here is it sounds like at the very least, her stepson is just being manipulated and kind of jerked around by someone.
Right.
At the very least, like, even if this person is, you know, pregnant with their child and they, like, the way they're she's going about it, like, again, even just the idea of, again, let's say it's all in the up and up, what it is to get an ultrasound, like, I'm mad at you, so I'm going to go do this thing without you.
Yeah.
That's not how you relate to somebody, even if you are telling the truth, you know?
Or also, like, being like, and I might be talking to my ex-boyfriend. Like, that question even of, like, oh, I'm about to have your baby, but I'm also maybe, like, still talking into my ex.
Yeah.
Like, it's right, at the very least, something not great is happening in the relationship.
So that's why, then I'm like, so, like, take all the other stuff out of it, and maybe that can also be part of the conversation she has with her stepson when he's in a mood to hear it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because that's the thing with moms, too, right? Because you know how moms be, like, knowing everything, and then they want to tell you. And I know for me personally, there are times when I'm open to being told.
Yes.
And there are times when I am not.
Yes.
And when I am not, it doesn't matter how right you are.
Yeah, no,
I can't. I can't. And it's like when he wants to talk to you, then it's like that's when you kind of open it up. And like to me, it's also like don't editorialize. Don't focus on all the extra stuff we don't know.
Yeah.
Stay in the facts.
Yes.
Stay in what we do know.
Yes.
And then how does this behavior make you feel, stepson?
Yes. Well, I was going to say, like, yeah, I think that waiting till he brings it up is really – because usually it's like the person will bring it up.
Yeah.
They'll always bring it up. You know, you don't actually have to – that's not your responsibility, you know? And then when they bring it up, like, yeah, focusing on you. Like, I care about you, so how are you feeling?
Yeah.
And it's not really about the – I mean, it's about her because she's the one doing it, but kind of like how is that affecting you?
And then it's not you. You're never really on the hook being like, she's trash.
Yes.
You know what
You're
I mean?
You're just concerned about the person that you care about.
And you keep it – like, you keep that side of the street clean.
Yeah.
I like that. Boundaries and openness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And never rob somebody of their rock bottom.
See a healer.
Okay, this question really took me for a loop. We do need to take a break. I feel like we just got back, but we also went to hell and back.
We're
taking a quick one. We are coming back, answering some more questions with Vella. BRB.
Hey guys, it's Bobby Bones. I host the Bobby Bones Show, and I'm pretty much always sleepy because I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. A couple hours later, I get all my friends together, and we get into a room, and we do a radio show. We share our lives, we tell our stories, we try to find as much good in the world as we possibly can, and we look through the news of the day that you'll care about. Also, your favorite country artists are always stopping by to hang out and share their lives and music too. So wake up with a bunch of my friends on Big 104.7 in Pittsburgh, or wherever the road takes you on the iHeartRadio app.
And we're back here with Vella. We here to handle your scandal.
Why don't we do one more? Let's do a voicemail.
Okay.
How do you feel about that? Does anyone have a... Let's vote. Does anyone have a problem with a voicemail? All right.
No.
Hey, Andy and Naomi. I'm a recent fan of the podcast, and I love it, and I love your guys' dynamic, but I need some advice. So my boyfriend and I have been together about a year. We met here in Mexico, and currently living and working, but he's from Colombia. And from the get-go, we were like, no, we'll keep it casual, because we knew he was going to have to go back. But then, unknowingly, we fell in love, and it's honestly the best relationship I've ever had, even with the distance, supportive, loving, all that. So I don't know what to do, because obviously we don't want to be long distance, but in order for that to change, someone's got to make the huge commitment to move to another country for the other person. And it's hard to make that commitment without knowing how it'll be when we're actually together. So any advice you guys could give me on the topic would be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Okay. International lovers.
International lovers, long distance lovers.
Yes.
V-Train, do you have...
Long distance relationship?
I was, yeah.
And LD relish.
LD relish. I was, and I really feel for her. I have so many thoughts on this subject, actually. So glad I'm here. I think there's a lot of positives in long distance relationships because I think... a lot of times, you know, when you're dating and you're like right next to the person, you a lot of other things are going on that can kind of cloud your judgment. And long distance, although it can really suck, gives you this weird opportunity to just get to know the person, like just in text, just in, you know, phone calls or video chats or emails or whatever, in this way that's so specific, like in this way that you wouldn't get to know them otherwise. I think it can be a really like strength. Like, I think you can really get to the bottom of what the relationship is, like in a really like in a really fast way. Like, you can be like, well, okay, I like if I'm going to leave my friends at the bar to come call you before you go to bed, I must really care about you, you know? So you're kind of like, I don't know, it kind of, I think it cuts the bullshit like really fast, you know? It kind of is like, oh, like, I like you, you know? It's not like, oh, I don't know if he's going to call or like he's, you know, I don't know if we'll meet up tonight. It's like all of a sudden you're like, what do you actually feel, you know? It's really hard, but I think a lot of people can do it and have done it successfully. It's helpful to have rules. Like, I know for my relationship that was long distance, we would try and do every 3 weeks.
See each other every three.
Yeah, because things start to get really weird after 3 weeks. Things get really weird.
Wait, hold on, sorry.
You just start, like, you start being mad at weird things, and then you're like, I don't, who is this person? Like, you just start, you don't have a frame of reference for them.
You lose the connection.
You lose the connection.
You need the pheromones.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then it's also weird, that readjustment period, when you see them at first, it takes a second to be like, oh, you're not just a voice on the phone. You're a live person.
Oh, you want to touch me now?
Yeah, like, yeah, ah, like, who are you? I don't know you.
So I think it
can be really hard, but I don't know. I think there's actually, like, I don't think it's a reason to not date someone, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So, but see, but you're not advocating one of them moving. You're saying, like, keep the kind of long distance
I would say my advice would be, I don't think it spells out the end of the relationship. I think you could find out pretty fast if you want to continue it and how much time you want to put into it, and then try and see each other a lot. Like, don't just not see each other. I think that's not good. I'm not advocating for that. You should see the person that you're dating.
Yes. Okay. Hot takes.
Yes, hot takes. But I'll be here all week. You know, I feel like I talked to someone recently that was like, you know, the first 2 years of their marriage, they were long distance. Like, I think people do it.
Yeah.
And it can really bring you, like, stronger together. I do think eventually you probably want to be in the same, you know, city, probably the same house as the person that you're partners with. But I do think to start off a relationship, it's not the end of the world for it to be long distance.
It's interesting you say. I mean, like, I definitely hear you. And I feel like the last advice episode, we had that couple that they were married, but both, like, tenured professors or trying to be tenured. And they were teaching at two totally different universities.
Oh, yeah, that's hard. So they literally lived in different.
Yeah, they only saw each other on weekends, maybe.
But they were married. But they were like, we're happy, but everyone is giving us shit. How do I deal with everybody assuming my relationship isn't real?
Right.
So I get that it can work, but I also think there is something to me when you're a long distance, and this is going to be me, my personality, I can still curate your experience of me.
Oh,
so I can keep you at a distance, or if I'm in a bad mood, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I might go to call you when I'm sad, but if you don't pick up or whatever, like, if I talk to you later, like, it's not the same as like having to see me in the darkness.
Yeah, is that what you did when I was out here and you were still in New York?
Remember that? Like, literally, we would be, like, video chatting when Andy was living in L.A. writing on a show and I was in New York. And we would be, like, video chatting. And literally, like, I would have it totally framed
up. Of course.
Where it was like, sure, the apartment's clean. And then it's like, if you widen to reveal, I am literally just surrounded by takeout containers and not wearing pants. You know what
There's
I mean?
Candles just around you. Yeah. And the rest of the apartment is, like,
filthy and sick.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. Like, of course I would. But again, we have been together long enough that we, like, went through, you know, that time. But even then, I remember being very afraid before you left, like, he's going out to Hollywood and he's going to forget. So, you know, even after probably, what, 2 years in, 3 years in?
That was about three.
Right. So we'd even had that. So I can understand how, you know, when you're still doing the get to know you at that distance. But it all depends on the personality, because I understand other people are not like me and do not try to micromanage people's experience of them.
No, but that's the whole internet. I mean, that's the fear when you're not literally just next to a person.
Yeah.
Is that you can do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes that I totally get that.
What about the international? So she lives in Mexico. Mm-hmm. He lives in Colombia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What if they decide, okay, one of us is going to move? How do you make that decision? Do you – the more adaptable person?
Oof.
Like
– The person with the least ties to where they are, because she said she's working in Mexico. Not that she's necessarily from Mexico. So she could be the one – where it's like, you know, if he has family and a job or these other things, if he's more tethered, then she would be the one who could go.
Right.
But I think it's important to even do that kind of thing. And it's hard. But I would say, like, whoever's making the move, and I know moving is hard and it takes a lot, but I would advocate not moving in with that person right away.
Oh my gosh, completely agree. Completely. Yeah, like have your own, see if you can have your own life. Exactly. And like, obviously, like, you know, you can't ignore that you're moving for this person, but as much as you can make it about yourself and be like, okay, I'm getting my own apartment. I'm going to have my own job. I'm going to seek out my own friends so that I have a life.
Yeah.
Because I think, yeah, you can just easily get swallowed up by the person that who's like, come to me.
Yeah, and you become codependent. Because it's like, if I moved to a place for you, well, if she's living in Mexico, I'm hoping she can speak some Spanish and then she can go to Colombia and be okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, people, like, you move to a place for somebody where you're like, you're literally the only person I know.
Only person.
The only person I can talk to. Yeah. I don't have a job yet. And you know, you come, and then it's like.
Then you get mad.
Yeah, then the relationship can't deal with the pressure.
No.
Of that, you know, one person being so dependent on the other. Yeah.
Well, I would say, I think you guys should be in love and keep dating.
Rello says you should be in love
and keep
dating.
End of play. But I also think that, you know, maybe the more, like, you know, whenever you guys visit each other, like, get to know each other's friends, you know, really, like, start to, like, explore the cities that you live in on your own for yourself. And, like, so that then if one of you guys move, it's not like you're completely alone in this, you know.
Yeah.
In this relationship.
You can have a 90-day fiancé situation.
Oh my God, I love that show.
Me too, but those people, they just show the fuck up.
It's crazy.
You know what I mean? And you're like, this is not a good idea.
Yeah. But yeah, I would advocate for like seeing, just like go visit each other and like see each other a lot, because there's literally no substitute for that. Like, I'm in a room with you.
Yeah.
Like,
Did she say where she is in Mexico? I can't remember now.
Oh, I think she just said Mexico.
What are flights between?
Oh, and then it gets
Mexico City
expensive.
And is that Colombia?
Yeah.
I would also advocate for splitting plane ticket costs so that it's not just like I'm paying for myself or like this person's flying me out. Like, it should be a mutual thing.
Yeah,
if you're
that's a very good call.
Yeah, if you're going to do this thing or like – I'll pay for this flight, but like you get, you know, all the dinners or something. Like, it needs to be like an equal thing cost wise, because that can also breed resentment.
Of course, of course. And especially because if that is such a big part of your relationship, it's not about someone spending money, but the spending of the money is how you show someone you want them around.
Yes.
Because that's the only way you can kind of do it in that scenario.
Yes, exactly.
That's the other thing. I mean, I'm always like, I'm never, like, when it comes to dating and all that kind of stuff, you know, the ways you early on until you kind of get to know a person, I think part of the reason why people tend to kind of, there's so many rules around who pays or who does what.
Yeah.
It becomes, until you know a person, the only ways you know if they're interested in you is the time they spend and the money they spend.
You're Those are the two things. Right.
There's the only way to know.
What was your guys' first early experience?
Well, this is a big part of our big thing was because like Andy was unemployed for a while. Like, we've like literally like we take like turns swapped. Being employed.
I think that's great.
And so what? But in the very beginning of us dating, and like it was chill. I didn't need. I was. Like,
I moved to New York, and 2 weeks later, the financial crisis happened.
Great.
He lost. Yeah, he lost the job he had. No, oh, no, you weren't.
Man. I moved to New York, and then my friend was going to get me a job. He worked for a company that wrote reports that did due diligence on hedge fund managers, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I get you a job here."
Oh,
and
my then gosh.
And then everything imploded. And so I spent my days doing yoga and listening to Democracy Now in my apartment and not leaving because I had zero dollars.
But that was the thing. It wasn't that, again, I don't need fancy dinners by any means or like any of that. But I got insecure at some point because I was like, well, I'm coming to his house and hanging out.
Yeah.
Does he actually like me? Or am I just the bitch that's coming over to the house?
Right. Because you couldn't tell.
Like, if I come to your house, then it's like, where is your, like, investment in me as much as I'm just rolling up?
And you know how, like, you know, there's a lot of songs. There's a lot of just, like, you know, people being like, I need my man to pay for me. Mm-hmm. But I do think that's it, what's at the heart of that is literally just, like, are you putting time in for me?
Right.
It's not actually like, oh, I need to be, like, covered in diamonds.
Yes.
You know, but
oh, well, I do. I do need to be covered in diamonds.
That would be great. But it's just like, I can see that you care mm-hmm. in this way, and yeah. then I can move forward.
Right. There were no other women. I wanted to come over. only you. Oh. By the way, flights from Mexico City to Bogota, $250.
Okay.
Okay, we can do this.
All right.
We can do this,
especially
okay?
If by the way, I don't know if that
split.
Was American dollars.
If it's split.
If it's split, this can be done.
And if you get it in advance, if mm-hmm. the next time, if always before the end of the visit, you
get the next
get
one.
Get the next one.
Yep. You
$250 gotta book USD.
Round trip?
Okay.
USD RT?
I don't know about RT.
Well, I'm gonna pay. Oh, that makes a difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because then it's $250 each. Yeah. Not going to work. No. No, it should still, you should still give it a try.
Bella, what a lovely time.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank
what a
you.
Great way to spend the rainy afternoon.
I know. Thank you so much for coming in. You're the greatest.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you guys next week.
My name is Kimberly Drew. If I've learned anything in my years of studying and uplifting Black artists, it's that we all have the power to create something beautiful. That's why I'm pleased to introduce you to people who have broken down boundaries in fencing and helped to create the first ever smart store. They're a big deal, and it's time we give them our attention. Listen to Your Attention, Please, a Hulu podcast with iHeartRadio on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's inspired by Your Attention, Please, now streaming on Hulu. Watch for a fresh point of view on Black history.
Hey guys, it's Bobby Bones. I host The Bobby Bones Show, and I'm pretty much always sleepy because I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. A couple hours later, I get all my friends together, and we get into a room, and we do a radio show. We share our lives, we tell our stories, we try to find as much good in the world as we possibly can, and we look through the news of the day that you'll care about. Also, your favorite country artists are always stopping by to hang out and share their lives and music too. So wake up with a bunch of my friends on Big 104.7 in Pittsburgh or wherever the road takes you on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.